If you would please be turning your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul very near the end of his life. It's probably the last of the New Testament epistles that he wrote. And in verse 9 and following, we find what in some ways could be a very disheartening view of what he was confronting, of what he was facing at this critical moment. He says to Timothy, "Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas has, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service." As Paul writes these things to Timothy and urges him to make every effort that he can make to come and to be with him, he gives some references to what is going on with other people who have been associated with Paul in the work that he had been doing and preaching. He gives some very discouraging news about the man named Demas, whom Paul says, having loved this world, has deserted me. You can almost hear the heartache and the disappointment in Paul as he conveys this news. He mentions several other people. It would be easy, I think, based on the statement about Demas, to group these other people in as those that have deserted and gone on to other places. And that I think would be a mistake. There's certainly no indication in this these verses that these other people were guilty of what Demas was. But Paul simply is alluding to the facts that in their work, they had gone to other places. They had gone on to carry on the work. What I want to focus our attention upon this morning is found in verse 11, where Paul makes reference to Luke, the beloved physician, and who is there with him, and no doubt rendering even medical assistance to to Paul in his present circumstances. But in addition to Luke being there, Paul says to Timothy, as you come to me, I want you to pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for this. For he is useful to me for service. And if we were unfamiliar with this man Mark, it would be easy to read right over that and not be impressed with the story that really concludes in the New Testament. Mark is an interesting character. We are introduced to him back in the book of Acts, and in the closing verses of chapter 12. Verse 25 of chapter 12 says that Barnabas, with whom we perhaps are more familiar as a companion to Paul, a traveling companion, a co-worker in preaching the gospel, said Barnabas and Saul, and that Saul is the same person as Paul, the apostle. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their mission, taking along with them John, who was also called Mark. And this is our introduction to this man, Mark, as he is referred to in our reading in 2 Timothy, or John Mark, as we see he was also known as. He's an interesting character because he is one who illustrates the fact that people can come back. People can make a return to service to the Lord. I think maybe the best way to overcome the difficulties of discouragement is to read biographies, to read about the lives of people and the way that others have triumphed over troubles that we may very well be facing ourselves. And this is especially true in the lives of men and women that are sketched out for us in the Bible. For we see in the lives of those people the facing of challenges that we will confront ourselves. And this case of Mark is, I think, a worthy case for us to study. The scriptures, I think, in a admittedly a limited way, provide for us glimpses into the life of this man. Enough so that that we can see that here was a fellow who started out well. In the verse that we read in verse 25, we have, as I said, our introduction to him. As you continue the reading on down into chapter 13 and verse 1, we see how Paul and Barnabas are selected out to begin what we become familiar with as Paul's three preaching journeys recorded in the book of Acts. In verses 1 and following, we see how they set out on the first of these preaching journeys. And verse 4 says, "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had Mark as their John as their helper." And so we see at the beginning of this very critical moment, at least, I would admit to you that certainly in the lives of people who, during that period of time, people who may have been on board the ships or journeying along in the same way that Paul and Barnabas were, that just, you know, people in a out on the streets, so to speak, would be unfamiliar with what was happening here and the importance of what was happening as this preaching journey of this man, Paul and Barnabas, began. But to those who are Christians and those who are students of the Bible, we understand But this was a critical moment. This was really something important happening. And who's there? John Mark. That gives us, I think, some appreciation for how well this man began in his service to the Lord. But if you're familiar with the life of Mark, and if you're not, when we're finished today, you will be. You know that, as is often true, this man who began so well encountered some difficulties and things just didn't always go swimmingly, as we might say, for John Mark. And he encountered, I think, probably some periods of discouragement in his life. And so I think it's a great source to us as we may face discouragements in our lives to know the story about this man. And that he is, in the final analysis, an encouragement. And not just a story about discouragement. He illustrates that a man can come back to God. Now, in a group of people this size, it would not be unlikely that there would be some people who were away from God in their lives, who have drifted away, people who may have in their spiritual lives begun so very well, like Mark, but who have drifted away. You need to know the story about Mark. You need to know not only that you must come back to God, but you need to know that you can come back to God. And that's exactly, I think, what Mark demonstrates for us. We see the exciting beginning to the story about Mark in the verses that we've looked at in Acts 12 and in Acts chapter 13. As we continue to look on, we see that he was a man who provided service to these men. We don't know exactly what all that entailed, but Mark was doing what he could do. It's a great story. That's exactly what you and I need to do. We need to do what we can do. And he rendered help to these men, Barnabas and Paul, in their preaching. So that, as we've read in Acts 13 and verse 5, it said simply of him that he was their helper. That's a great thing to be in that critical moment as this great endeavor is being undertaken, to just be a helper. And that's what Mark was. But then as the story continues on into chapter 13, come to verse 13, where it says that now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John left them and returned to Jerusalem. That's all it says. John left them and he returned to Jerusalem. Suddenly, unexpectedly, John Mark leaves the group, leaves the work that's being done, and he goes back to Jerusalem. There are a lot of different ideas as to what's involved here, a lot of suggestions. Some have said that there may have been some racial pride and prejudice involved in what Mark did in his leaving, that it's connected to the statement that this is where, you know, these are the places that Paul and his companions went, to Paphos, to Perga, to Pamphylia, and that he may have been going into areas where there were people that John Mark just didn't like. He didn't like the kind of people. Didn't want to be among those sorts. And that may be. That may be. That's just a suggestion that some have made. Others have said, well, perhaps it was homesickness. And that John Mark just was tired of the traveling. I mean, can you imagine what traveling long distances required of those people? It's when you stop to really think about it, it was an amazing undertaking. When you read of all of the traveling that Paul did by ship and on land and so, it was quite an exacting requirement that was made of them in order to travel. And John Mark may have just gotten tired of this. I want to tell you something. Travel is a whole lot easier today. And as most of you are aware, I make a trip over to India to work over there and to preach, to teach. And it's with the support of this congregation that I'm able to do that. I mean, that's the other side of the world, literally the other side of the world. But I get there in a few hours. I mean, it's traveling is a whole lot easier than it was for these folks. I'm usually over there for about 3 weeks period of time, and I tell you what happens every year without fail. About a week and a half into the trip, I'm laying in bed over there in the middle of the night in India, and I'm thinking, what in the world are you doing back over here? I'm ready to go home. I want to go home. And I've still got as long to be here as I've been. It's easy when you're away. And I know I'm not the only one here who knows this. It's easy when you're away. It's easy to become homesick. I just want to go home. And that may have been what finally just overcame Mark. And so he said, I'm going home. I'm leaving. Others have suggested, well, perhaps it was fear. That as they made their trip from the places that they had been to these places that are mentioned in verse 13, that they would be going into Asia, what was, you know, generally referred to as Asia Minor. It was a place that, particularly as you traveled the roadways between towns and villages, it was known to be inhabited by thieves and robbers. And as John Mark saw where they were going, well, I'm just not inclined to go there. I'm afraid to go there. And so he went home. I don't know why he left and went home. But I do know he left and he went home. And as we'll note as we go along a little further, whatever the reason was, it, in Paul's estimation, did not appear to be a legitimate reason for leaving the work. And so very often we think about Mark as being one, maybe even in similar terms as Demas, whom we saw where Paul said he's deserted me. And maybe we kind of think in terms of John Mark as one who deserted. And there's always a searing shame and in being a deserter. There's they're just haunting regrets, can be anyway, with quitting a worthwhile endeavor. We all know the feeling when we don't do something to its completion that we should have finished. I'm sure that neither his conscience nor his memory would let John Mark rest. And thinking about what he had done after he got back home to Jerusalem must have been upsetting to him. You think about another man who, in a critical moment, failed. Think about Peter, the apostle, who denied that he knew Jesus. He cursed and he swore that he didn't know Jesus. The Bible says, but when he thought about this, he went out and he wept bitterly. When he thought about it, it was upsetting to him. And I imagine that John Mark spent some time back in Jerusalem thinking about having left this group and having left the work, whatever the reasons were, and that perhaps it became upsetting to him. But he's a wonderful example to us of the fact that a man can come back. And this was a man who came back. In Acts chapter 15, as further revelation is given to us about the work of Paul and Barnabas, in Acts chapter 15, verse 36 and following, we see that after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." So he is proposing now a second trip. And Barnabas was desirous of taking John, called Mark, along with them. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. You see, what I referred to before is in Paul's reaction to this suggestion to take John Mark on the second trip, we get some indication perhaps of the nature, though we don't know specifically, we get some indication of the nature of John Mark's decision to leave on the first trip. Paul considered it a desertion, and he considered that it was inappropriate to take with them on the second trip one who had left them during the first trip. Verse 39 goes on and it says that there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. He was traveling through Syria and Cilicia. So we see these two men essentially coming to the agreement to disagree about this, and Barnabas, so true to his character as we are told in earlier portions of Acts, the perennial encourager. He was his name, Barnabas, was basically a nickname that was given to him by the apostles, and it's a name that meant son of encouragement. He's just one of those people that was always encouraging, and he's willing to take Mark with him and go off in one direction. Paul chooses Silas to travel with him, and he goes off in another direction. But what this tells us is that there had come a time when John Mark had determined, I need to do this. I need to do this again. I need to try again. And what he had deserted, he was willing to commit to and to try once again. And Barnabas was willing to give him the opportunity to do so. He was a man who demonstrates to us that after a failure in our lives, after that moment when our knees have buckled and we have given up on the cause, when we should have stood firm, there's still the opportunity to come back. There's still the chance to try again. Mark demonstrates to us that a man not only must come back to God, but that a man can come back to God. And if there are those in this audience this morning who are struggling with discouragement and the realization that I failed. It's just that simple. I failed. If there are some here who are dealing with that, then be encouraged by the story of Mark, and that he was a man who showed to us that we can come back to God. And he was a man who demonstrated that we can make good when we try again. More than 10 years pass in the life of Paul and in the work of Paul. He's in a Roman prison near the end of his life, as I said when we began. And he sits down, takes up the pen, and writes a second letter to his trusted companion, Timothy. And he writes those words that we focused on in chapter 4 and verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. As I said, this is several years after the time that we were reading about in the book of Acts. And Paul, as he is alone, except for the presence of Luke, says, I want you to bring Mark with you because he's useful to me in service. What a change has occurred. From one who, in Paul's estimation, was a deserter, from a deserter to a useful worker in serving and in helping Paul and in serving Christ as well. This is a tribute to this man, Mark. It's a tribute to this man who realized he should and that he could return to the work that he had done. He was probably influenced in his return by three different men. At least there are three men that I would like to quickly suggest to you could have been involved in Mark's return. And probably most of us would think first and foremost of Barnabas. And we certainly have some biblical evidence of the fact that Barnabas exerted his encouraging influence in the life of this man, Mark. A second man who may very well have been involved was Peter. There seems to be a close association in the years that followed Mark's return, a close association between himself and the Apostle Peter. And a lot of Bible students, a lot of commentators see a lot of things in the writings of the two men that are similar. And it makes sense to me that Peter could have been involved. Can't you imagine Peter taking John Mark aside one time? And you know, when John Mark's in that the low of lows and in his discouragement, and oh, I failed. At the critical moment, can't you imagine Peter saying, "Listen to me, son. If you want to talk about failing at the critical moment, you just remember what I did." And yet the Lord came after his resurrection. He sought me out. He brought me back. He charged me with feeding my sheep. Peter, go do the job you were supposed to do. Oh, I can imagine Peter being an influence over Mark and his coming again to the Lord. You know, some of us may be Barnabases. I don't know if that's grammatically correct or not. But some of us can be good encouragers. And some of us could help people who are struggling with discouragement themselves in their lives right now by saying to them, "Let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you what happened to me." But there's a third man, I think, that we have to acknowledge who was involved in Mark's return. And that's Paul. It's not a pleasant thing to say to someone or about someone, "No, what you did was wrong." Or, "What you're doing is wrong." But we read there in Acts 15 where Paul was critical of Mark. And I want to tell you, sometimes that's what's needed to convince a person who is away from God to come back to God. It is to let them know being away from God is not acceptable. What you're doing is wrong. And Paul did that. In this case about Mark, what he did was wrong. And it's not suitable. It's not fitting for him to go with us on the second trip. And sometimes that's what we need to do with people that we have an influence over. Is what you're doing wrong. But now, let me hasten to add this about Paul. Is that he was a man, a critic, who did not overly criticize. He didn't spend the rest of his life saying, "No, this guy, John Mark, you can't count on him. Let me tell you what he did back 25 years ago. Oh yeah, I know what he's doing now. I know he's out. He's preaching, and I hear about things. But let me tell you what he did." If we're going to be the kind of correctors that Paul was, we have to be willing, once people make the corrections, to be accepting of them. And Paul was willing to do that. He wouldn't accept John Mark in Acts chapter 15. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he tells Timothy, "You get him and you bring him here because he's useful to me in the service." Paul didn't hold this never-ending grudge against the man. I ask you again, might it be that you are struggling at this point in your life? Have your knees buckled at some critical moment when you should have stood You gave in. You quit. Is your service, do you think that your service to the Lord is finished because of that failure? Well, Mark is a clear example that says to us, no. It says to us, a man can come back. And if you're away from God, that's precisely what you need to do, is to come back. If you're away from God because there are sins in your life that have never been forgiven, then you need to come back to God by finding the forgiveness of those sins. It's what those people that we talked about this morning did. Men like Paul, and Barnabas, and Mark. There was a time in their life when they came to understand they stood guilty before God because of their sins. And what they did was, having become believers that Jesus is the Son of God, they turned away from their sins. They confessed their faith in Christ. And they were baptized, washing the guilt of their sins away. They became Christians in that way. And that's exactly what you need to do. If you're away from God today because of unforgiven sins in your past life, you need to come back to God by giving your obedience to His gospel. But if having done that, you strayed from God, you failed some critical moment, you didn't do what you should have done, you haven't continued on in your work, your service to the Lord, if you're away from God now, then you need to come back to Him. You need to repent of your sins. You need to turn away from them, seek God's forgiveness, and like Mark, take up the cause once again and become useful in service to the Lord. If you're subject to His invitation, we bid you to come in obedience to Him while we stand and sing.